The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, from Monday to Friday, from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m., you are with EMS, with me, David Chombeye. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombeye. 16 minutes past the hour of 6, 16 of the third month of 2026. And you are listening to your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia, that is Eagle FM. We are greeting you wherever you are. Whatever you do, make sure that you do it to the best of your ability so that you will be able to bring about positive changes to the development of the country and also to the people that, you know, are around you. Improve your constituency, improve your region, improve your country, and improve your region. Make sure that you are the change you want to see. Make sure that what you expect from people is what people expect from you. Then you realize that the main game is with you and you are part of it. Do not let anyone to drive to be in charge of your life. Make sure that you are the one who putting on gear 1, 2, 3, and 4. And stop blaming people. But make sure that you take charge of that. And yeah, it's a Monday. Everybody is going to work. Some are waking up to continue hustling, to continue pushing. It's a very good spirit. The fact that you are awake, the fact that you have energy, make sure that you stand up and continue pushing. Sleeping and crying about the problem, go and talk to people. Ask help if needs be. But make sure that you continue moving. And that should be the spirit of everybody. And today, it's a Monday. And we are starting with international news to give you to say what is happening in a global front, what is happening in the continent of Africa, and indeed what is happening in Namibia, particularly when you will be looking at Namibia, Russia Business Forum, to say what was the real conversation of Namibia Russia Business Forum. What is the necessity of that business forum? We look at the statistics, the numbers, and also what need to be done, particularly in terms of future exploration and also venturing into, we are speaking about venturing into the diversified economy. To say for you to be safe, you need to make sure that you are not only operating with one front, but you are operating with different fronts, because in case things got stuck, in case things got stuck like they are stuck now in the Middle East, you always have an alternative. That's why having option and giving other countries opportunities also to explore in your country is quite interesting. Unlike only saying you are my friend for a very long time, but those are only history. It's like you are saying, no, you are my grade one friend and I know you for a very long time. Yes, you may have that friend, but there is a friend that you met 2 years ago that is more than your historical friend, particularly in terms of sharing quality and also growth input, and that is what is necessary, especially when you want to move forward. And those of you who had, trade fair fundraising gala dinner, it was interesting. It was interesting, and that should be the spirit. You see, everybody was happy. Everybody was excited, and that is Namibia that you want. We must do like that. We must be happy people, and we must always find ways and also opportunities, especially when it comes to bringing business people together, bringing also the politics and the private sector together. And Namibians are happy people, but let's give the business people, particularly domestic business people, power and strength, so that they can grow this economy. And it was very interesting. You're looking on social media, see that never ever disappoint, particularly when it comes to the affairs of domestic business expansion. And, you know, there are also cases which happen. And there's always one thing which I speak about, especially regarding cases and criminal activities being done by female or being done by women, to say there is still something that Namibians do not want to look at, especially if you really speak about gender equality. It must apply across the sector, because we have seen, and yet the person has to appear before the court today. Especially, you know, when you look on social media, it's abuse of you know, small children. And you see that, you know, Namibians, we are not really good people sometimes. But when something is done, imagine if that was done by a man. And I'm not defending anybody. Just to say, if something is done wrong, let us be condemned by all means necessary. We want to see if something is done by a man, it must be condemned the same way it's done by a woman. And that is the only way that we are going to solve those issues. Let us not keep quiet. Let those movement, those foundations, those NGOs keep quiet and only stand up when they say something is done by men. I'm not defending anybody, but let us do it all across the board, to say there is a person who has starved, there is a person who suffered certain injuries, there is a person who was vulnerable and was abused by a certain, you know, a woman. And on that ground, it was confirmed by the Namibian police that that woman was arrested. That act should be condemned by all means necessary, and the law should take its course, because that is the only way that we are going to solve problem. And we are looking at Namibians as Namibians. Let those, I want those foundations that always stand up and make protest, let us do that if it needs be, so that those social ill should be addressed. But sometimes you also look at an individual, particularly if you look at a problem, you also look at a person who have caused a problem, to say, what really happened to this individual? What really happened to this individual? Was the person also abused? Was the person also in a difficult situation, and all these things, to say what really the cause of social ill? Are people real evil, or there is a lot of things behind that we do not see? But if something is done and is not right, let it be condemned, so that we can build a country that is fair, that is just, that is accommodative, and create a good environment, either to Namibians or non-Namibians, either to the sick, the poor, and the downtrodden, because we have a lot of things to do. We cannot still be at the moral while we have a bigger economy to build, while we have a lot of people to feed too. And yeah, looking at South Africa, let's start with our neighboring country. It was indicated that, you know, South Africa sees 4 Chinese fishing vessels in its water. It's a South African authority have captured 4 vessels from China that is operating in exclusive economic zone without authorization, and that have triggered interagency response, and that was indicated. And on that ground, it was stated that the vessels were fined 400,000 rands, and it was stated that these vessels are owned by Shenzhen Shuang Pelagic Fisheries, were intercepted and placed under supervision in Cape Town Forestry, Fisheries and Environmental Minister has indicated. It was also stated that the ship requested innocent passage on February 23, stating that they would leave South African water before March 3. However, a few days later, they sought permission to navigate outside port limits without the required documents. He ended. And that is what happened. They were detected less than 12 miles from the KZN coast, and were later tracked, and they were moved south along the Eastern Cape coastal line. And you know, the things of water navigation and also policing. It's a bit complicated because every country has its degree of operation. There's its portion of the ocean, and you cannot operate in my water without authorization. That's why this four Chinese fishing boats or fishing vessels, they were arrested and they were fined 400,000 rands. And it also raised suspicions about, taking what does not belong to you without authorization, especially if you are a fishing vessel. And on the 23rd, you said you would leave the water. And the 23rd, you said you would leave the water, but by March, you are still moving around my economic zone. It raised suspicions. That's why South African authority, they arrest and fine. They say, we arrest you. Come on shore. You have to pay that amount. Then you leave immediately. And international laws based on what should operate and prevail. And once you have accepted that you have made a mistake, you have to pay that amount of money. To say you can only get fish when it's permissible. And I remember many years ago, I think Namibian also captured, was it a Spanish vessel? You cannot be lost, but you are in an economic zone. You can't be lost and you are at a place where people, they fish, or there is an ecosystem of fish that are being fished. You can't be lost. There must be an intention. And accepting the mistake and pay, that also means that you must obey, and life should continue, and that should not destroy relationships. Say, was this vessel standing on their own? Was it because of the captains, or they were just lost? And can you really be lost from a high advanced company, particularly in terms of technology? Can you also be really lost if you are coming from the technologically wise country, number one tech in the world? If you are the best in terms of navigation, there must be something. And once they have accepted that, then people should be able to be fine, and life should continue. Let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll continue with continental news. Then we'll give you a little bit of what's happening in the Middle East, then we'll be able to look at today's conversation. However, remember that when it comes to the Villager newspaper, it's out for today. The Villager newspaper is out. Make sure that you read the content and also context of the Villager newspaper, so that you don't only get economic news, but you get content and context of what is happening. The good story, the success story, and also stories that are dealing with policies and industrial briefs.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge Fanona, Monica, Co, Eagle FM, Honora Tatime, Bali Heali, Nola Natu, Heali Bali No Heali, Ileko Derewa, Nora Hetatu Natu, Bali O Hetatu Batatu, Oma Felane, Eagle FM, the Eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other
station. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipura nenge no wapumbwa Eva tere uliko ni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utete okoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ujendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, it's 32 minutes past the hour of 6. We are moving on with the Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And, you know, there is a lot of things happening in the world, you know, regardless of Africa being the safest place, currently as you are speaking, due to people are running away from their countries. Running away from their countries due to war. It was stated that more than 50 African migrants were rescued from a boat in Central Mediterranean. 50 people were rescued from overcrowded boat in Central Mediterranean on Friday evening. And 9 of them are children. It was the second rescue of the day for Italian NGO organization Emergency, which says that its first three assisted 41 migrants at the sea. And, these are the citizens coming from Nigeria, Guinea-Bissau, Biafra, Senegal, South Sudan, Guinea, the Gambia, and Sudan. You realize to say, majority of these people are young people. And they are continue to leave Africa. And statistics have been showing that thousands and thousands of Africans are dying every year trying to cross Mediterranean Sea. Some have been trying to use the routes of Middle East, going via Djibouti, going through the Horn of Africa. And most of them, they die in the desert. Some they die of hunger. Some they die of, other diseases. Some they die of exhaustion. You see, pregnant women with children, people are leaving the continent trying to look for better opportunities. And the question should always be, what are those who have responsibility to make sure that Africa is a better place? What are they doing? Why Africa is a dangerous zone to African citizens, but it's paradise to the rich, wealthy, foreign people who can come and do business here. People look at, you know, they are saying once you are trying to leave Africa, the next, you know, a person in Europe cannot wait to catch another flight just to come to Ethiopia, to come to South Africa, to come to Namibia, while you are saying there is nothing in Africa. And looking at this news, I'm always not happy. And it should really be concerning. And you still find people going to Oman, even during the time of trouble. You still find people going to Russia and Ukraine. Some end up, you know, joining, you know, activities that they were not supposed to join. You see people being becoming victims of scammers just because a person is desperate. Then end up becoming victim of scammers. Then they find themselves in the war zone, and we have seen what have happened. And for the past 2 months, we have been speaking about, you know, reports, particularly African countries. Either it's an intelligence report, either it's a report from governments that are indicating that African countries, especially the young people, find themselves in the war of Ukraine. Some end up in, you know, the front line, some were rescued. And I've seen that South Africa, they've also gotten their people back, especially those people that put Duduzire Sabudla in trouble. Especially looking at how they enter the war zone in Ukraine. But the question should always, why can't we wait and build our continent? Why so much money is invested in Africa? Either it's from green finance, either it's from, you know, greenfield investment, either it's from African Development Bank, either it's from European Union. There is more money coming to Africa, but people are still running. And the question is that, are these finance strategically used to benefit Africans, or is another project that does not bring qualities to African people? What is really wrong? Why every day African children have to die in the desert, in the sea? Why they end up being lured into, I know, because some they become victim of human trafficking. It's not only about Gambia. Namibia is also not an exception. We have seen cases of Namibians find themselves in Thailand, finding themselves in the Middle East, someone to come back home due to becoming victim of human trafficking. We have seen Namibians also becoming drunk mule caught at O.R. Tambo International Airport and many other areas, either it's Brazil or where. But the question should always be, is this the only better option, or there is something that we are not doing as a country to make sure that the sons and daughters of Namibia are taken care of? And we are indicating to say our country will be 36 years now. Be 36, we are no more an adult. If it was a guy, should get married soon, or your father will start indirectly pushing you. There is a taking of Shuambo. Apparently, when you start growing up, you reach the age of 36 to 40. Every move that you are making, your father will make sure that he's teasing you so that you get angry. So that once you start an argument, say, no, this is my house, and it's my house for me and my wife. If you think that you have the bigger balls, make sure that you build your own. But if that is also what Namibia will be facing, especially when we have been calling ourselves the last born of Africa, or the child of international, the child of international solidarity, or the child of international community. But we are no more a child. We are a grown-up person that need not only to speak, but also to make strategic, practical, economic, you know, improvement, so that we should not only continue to receive another assistance, to receive another food parcels, but we should stand strong and, you know, improve in various areas. So, before we look at today's conversation, especially when we are going to look at what our Minister of Trade, of International Relations and Trade has to say, especially at Namibia, Russia Business Forum, and also what an opportunity that was given to the business people, which area of exploration was given, and also what opportunity can we get in that area. And you ask yourself a question to say, how many Russian business people do you know? How many Russian scientists do you know? How many Russian lecturers do you know? And how many Russian doctors and nurses do you know? And which area do you really think Namibia and Russia need to continue cooperating? And why a good friend for a very long time, but you are nowhere in our trade balance? We are nowhere in our trade balance. Why is it like that? So, before we go there, let us look at African economic growth. It was stated that the economic growth of Africa is threatened as oil price increase. It was indicated that as oil price remain high amid ongoing war in the Middle East, its impact is increasingly filtering down into the lives of the people across Africa. Oil price shot $100 per barrel this week as shipping through the vital Strait of Hormuz came to an effective standstill, and Iran has struck energy facilities in the Gulf. Now, when you check, the spokesperson of Islamic Revolutionary Guard stated that there is no litter, no even one litter, is going to pass through the Strait of Hormuz. We indicated that, looking into that aspect, you realize to say, after all the bombardment by the U.S. Military and the Israel military, there is also a concern to say, if you have put more than 50 naval ship and navy ship of Iran underground with Tomahawk, rockets and all the bombs, why the Strait of Hormuz is still closed? That has been the question that was asked, which means that these guys, they still have weapons. They still have firepower. And that is a simple question to say. It's up for argument too. And I'm also asking the same question to say, if the strongest army in the world have destroyed all the navy, has taken all the ship which were there to the bottom of the sea, as it was indicated by the President of the United States of America, why now oil is still stuck? Thailand have tried. They have just sent one rocket. The whole ship was destroyed. There are two more ships which were struck in the Strait of Hormuz. What I know is the one for Thailand. I don't know what they were thinking. But the Islamic Revolution said there is no litter. It's going to come through that Strait of Hormuz. No one is going to get any oil from there, unless it's through the permission. And it's like a business in the dangerous zone, because when you look at the ship of China, I think two of Chinese ships, they were allowed to pass through. And also one of Turkey. And it's also interesting to look at the position of Turkey, because Turkey is only the US ally which did not partake, which did not support the war in Iran. And I think the president of Turkey, as a principal, when you look at the role he played during Assad, although he was not supporting directly, you realize to say, during the fall of Assad in Syria, he was also neutral, but his main concern is dealing with the impact of war, because after the Middle East war, Turkey suffer because of migration, because people, they run to a stable country when they are under fire. And I think it's only China and Turkey. I don't know about the Indian ship, but that are allowed to pass through the Strait of Hormuz, which means that you pass through on the permission of Iran. Otherwise, they will just send you a Shahed drone. Then your whole, you know, your whole tank is under fire. The stuff out there. There was also a proposal from I think it's a military strategy from Donald Trump to say they were thinking of escorting some of these ships throughout the strait. But it's like not yet practical. But every day in the Middle East, there is still a news coming out, and there's a lot of information on social media, and it's always good to filter and also look at the quality and content of those information, especially when it comes to the war in the Middle East, because this war is fought in a different front. It's fought on a different front. It's not only about military engagement, it's also about the narrative, it's also about threat and psychological warfare. It's about painting a picture. And you also realize that it's also a question to say, when it comes to the firing, aircraft of the US that fell in Iraq airspace and killed six servicemen, was it shot down or it was technical error? Some are saying it's Friedrich shot, some are saying it's technical error, some are claiming that we shot it down, but the question that should be asked is that when is this war going to end? It's not about who is winning, it's not about who is winning, but when is this war going to come to an end, because it's a dangerous war, it's suffocating everybody, and you know, you also look at the economy, because if you look, for example, in terms of prioritization, you realize to say money spent in war in a day by a powerful nation is more than funds that can assist you. Money spent, and you ask yourself a question to say, where is this money coming from? You will be also shocked to realize that most of the things that are being used there, most of the money, it could be that money come from Africa. It could be that elements of those jet fighters, they are made by on critical minerals. The elements are coming from here, are coming from here, Africa. They are coming from here, Namibia. They are coming from DRC. Some of the technology that you see, those, the RAND that people are using, the tracking devices and all these things that are used, advanced technology, most of these things are coming from Africa. But we are still watching. We are still suffering. Those are our things. If you have to look that way, go and do research on critical minerals. What is the use of critical minerals? Where are they found? Where are they found? But that is a question. And we have also seen that looks like Iranian government is still intact regardless of bombardment. And you see, you know, people are still attending the protest. We have seen ministers in the street. And you are just asking yourself to say, where is this war going to end? And there's a lot of things happening. But one will also think that it's only Russia and India that are standing a good chance to solve those conflict, because US was the main negotiator. US was the main negotiator and was also on the agenda of peace. Seems like now it's also part of the war. And are we going to form another board of peace to solve that conflict? What will happen? And also what will happen to Iran. And when you look at the demand of the ceasefire from Iran, you realize to say this war is not going to end well. And, you know, we need to tighten our belt, especially African countries of today, to say what is that we need to do? What is that we need to do so that, you know, so that we do not only looking at the world, but we also look at ourselves to say, what is that we need to do to survive and also to live? Can we rearrange our trade now? Is the time for trade rearrangement already now? Or we should still continue to operate the way we operate until we are hit by oil price, until we are hit by commodity price, until we are deteriorating to the core? That should be the question. And in Congo, Congo Brazzaville, it's not the DRC, it's another Congo, Congo Brazzaville. The president said to extend 4-decade rule. Indicated that President Denny Sassou Nguesso, he's a very good friend of Cyril Ramaphosa, President of Republic of Congo, stated that, you know, the people of Republic of Congo are voting on Sunday to elect, you know, a new leader, yes, incumbent President Denis Sassou Nguesso, run for the fifth term. And it's indicated that 3 million people are registered to vote in the polls, which the 82-year-old is widely expected to win, extending his more than 4 decades in power, 40 years in power, in the oil-rich country. And 6 candidates are standing against Sassou Nguesso. And in that case, one of the African longest-serving leaders, but the main opposition is divided and largely absent. And that is a conversation. That is the conversation, especially after the voting. People are expecting the president of Congo to defend his position, especially after the voting, which happened yesterday. To say polling stations in the Republic of Congo have closed following a day of voting in elections that are widely expected to extend the incumbent president. And the Observer, the National Observer, note a lower turnout in Congo Brazzaville presidential polls. There is voter apathy. So there is low vote turnout. And this should really be a concern. It's not only in DRC, not DRC, but Congo Brazzaville. Not in Congo Brazzaville. So there is low vote turnout. To say, what is the meaning of vote turnout? Because those who do investigation and also those who study, they realize that studying the behaviors of voters, the behaviors of registered voters and those who have voted, you must be able to understand that the silence of a voter, the low voters turnout, may also mean something, especially when it comes to the politics of the day. It's not only about those who did not vote are not going to have a say. And ask yourself this question. Why do, during the time of elections, every politician is urging you, go and vote, go and say your say, go and express your opinion and view? But you realize to say that once the politics have stopped delivering on its promises, the system will start losing trust one by one. And that should really be concerning. It's not only about India in Congo Brazzaville, not only about in Congo Brazzaville, it's not only about even in Namibia, but in other countries, to say there must be something that is done to make sure that the democratic process and institutions are continue to be trusted. If you look at the voters turnout, do your study, look at the Namibia voters turnout 1989. Look at 5 years later, and look at 2004. Look at what happened. You could also be able to compare during the time and changes. Look at compare that with economic growth. Compare that with employment rate. Compare that with the number of people. You look at 2014. You look at 2019. you look at 2024, then you understand. And you also look at last year, especially regional and local authority, then you realize, you ask the question to say, why are people not showing up, especially at the polling station? Because the politics of Africa, it's a bit different, and there is a lot which need to be, to be done. Just before you look at that, it also indicate that Ugandan opposition leader Bobi Wine has left the country, scared of his life, and you know, after military threats and hunts by General Muhoozi Kainerugaba. No, it's tough out there in Uganda. It's very tough to be a politician in Uganda, particularly if you are not in line with, or if you are not on a good cut of General Museveni. He's been in hiding after elections. And Bobi Wine indicated that he left the country. He don't know to where. But those are the conversation. And when I look at this country in the eastern part of Africa, the central Africa, I compare to Namibia, I realize that we are still paradise. We have our problems, but we are still paradise to other due to other characters that we are still having. You will never see. And I've never seen a opposition politician in jail in Namibia during elections. I've never seen, maybe to come, which I don't wish. Never seen a opposition politician being beaten. But look at Zambia there. Look at Uganda. Police will come and sort you out, even during the time of election or campaigning. Then you understand that, you know, I think in terms of strength of institution, I think we are still... Yes, they have to be given, you know, given a tick there, or given a good mark in terms of that, because other countries, people do not even want to discuss the politics of their country. You know, if you ask somebody, especially, I like having conversation, especially with, you know, if somebody is from the Central Africa, or somebody is from DRC, I like asking, could you know what happened? People, they are thinking maybe you are going to reveal information. People are traumatized. People are being beaten up. Then you realize that if you move, you realize that Namibia is still paradise compared to other continent. I mean, other countries in the continent. And realize to say, there is still much that we should be happy about. And that should also not stop us to demand for more, especially looking at human development improvement. So let's look at a short commercial break, then from there we'll look at what Namibia has to say, especially during Namibia Russia Business Forum, and also to look at area of exploration to say, if the politician lay the foundation, what is opportunity for the private sector, especially operating within the agreement, operation within the trade framework, operation within that trade framework. And maybe looking at that, especially looking, analyzing the trade relation between Namibia and Russia. Maybe it's also to look at this document made available. They simplified Namibian business people, especially those who do not speak English. They simplified, they put in different languages so that Namibians can be able to interact, to say, in terms of politics, if there is a political relations, or if there is economic diplomacy agreement that allow this country to trade, this agreement seen, or is only a matter of formality. And those are the things that we should also look at. And also to say, it's a good thing that we don't only look at the friendship that we have with countries, but also what countries can be able to assist us, or what we can also be able to get, because it's not only about friend with benefit, but also quality of friendship. Because if you look at, and I think it's a better way of Namibia foreign policy strategic realignment, because South Africa did that. Because if you look last year, particularly in June, South Africa closed down some of its unproductive embassy. One of them is Bulgaria, where the
Esira shisho, pagyotari kukwathere opovoro kara uasira ya kweni ochisho. Watuchi ithana basic mental health first aid course. Haiganjua oshari chamhongi kwa mboka iri iyo iyo NHP. Watapewa unongo nonseo na kene una okutongorora omadidiriko gopetameko igena cha nupiakadhi nenge omathidakano gopama viraviro kuchane omokatiko kumekoe nenge anironga pamwe nangoe osho otopewa unongo kene una okuya kwathera nukuya pa ea bidhido yiri mwanjira omanga upya kadiboka inauru darara kuyerere o unji na kene unokara uishangitha tarira po epanja yao yo nhp.com.na e hangono maradura sano ododina okurandurwa NHP rooted in care for you
your health your life your peace of mind NHP, we're about you.
Yeah, let's look at a short commercial break. Then from there, we'll look at Namibia, Russia Business Forum, what our key takeaways. From there, you can be able to again to engage us at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401. And the other thing is that we'll also be looking at the content of the Villager newspaper for today. To say what do we have in the paper for today and what can you get one or two things that will be able to help you throughout the day, throughout the week, and also throughout the month.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshuwala unongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa nuneudo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge Fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM VI.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamwiri nawa ninge kwata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are still moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. It's 5 minutes past the hour of 7, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombeye. Today we'll look at just a short conversation. We'll look at what our minister has to say, especially with Namibia-Russia Business Forum, to say what was the aim of this conversation, what was the content of the conversation. What is that Namibia will be able to get from this, and who should utilize this opportunity to? Because you know, sometimes you hear something is communicated in this high level English that at the level of diplomacy, but you also need to look at the economic movers to say how should economic movers partake into this business. How should the Namibian SME cooperate with the Russian SME, either in technology, either it's in food production, either it's in agriculture, to make sure that you utilize this opportunity? Because, you know, if you look at our grandfathers, our uncles, and cousins, and also those who went to into exiles and fought for the country, they will tell you Russia and Cuba, they will tell you China, they will tell you the military training and drills and everything. But after that, few to none, I will not tell you, I will not lie to you, I will not tell you one that I know of standing. You can go to Anguena, you can go to Enana. Then ask yourself, can I see one Russian investment in this town, particularly in terms of business? In other things, yes, it can work in other things, but in business, in terms of how many Namibians are in joint venture with Russian business people, why are we not into that? What was blocking us to come into that aspect? Why do we only talk about our friends who assisted us in the time of trouble, but in terms of real economic beneficial? Because it's not about AK-47 anymore. It's not about the Katusha anymore. The world has moved forward to technology. Why are we not at that level? With China, that one you cannot, because China and South Africa, they are top trading partners. And that one we really utilize. Who do we trade with, and what is the strength of our economic relationship? And why can't we expand more? And what was blocking us to do that beforehand? Because if you look at the volume to say, this guy was supposed to prioritize this guy in terms of energy, I would have used this guy in terms of electricity. But I think with medicine, with academic exchange there, you really have good doctors and professionals. But beyond that, there must be tangible and practical relationship. So let's look at what the minister has to say, especially on Friday. And we'll continue from there.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister, and thank you for helping me onto the stage. I was saying that these days are made for army people. Your Excellency Yuri Trudnev, Deputy Prime Minister of the Russian Federation, Presidential Envoy to the Far Eastern Federal District, as well as co-chair of the Namibia-Russia Intergovernmental Commission. Honorable ministers from the Russian Federation and Namibia, Ambassador Dmitry Lobach of the Russian Federation to the Republic of Namibia, Ambassador Monica Nashandi, our ambassador to the Russian Federation, distinguished members of the Russian business delegation, senior government officials from both countries, Ms. Jessica Hawanga, acting CEO of NIBTP, leaders of industry, academia, and business institutions from both countries, representatives of the media, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Dobre den. It is with delight that I welcome you all to the Namibia-Russia Business Forum, which is being held on the sidelines of the 11th meeting of the Namibia-Russia Intergovernmental Commission on Trade and Economic Cooperation. I wish to particularly extend a very warm welcome to His Excellency, the Deputy Prime Minister, Yuri Trudnev, and the entire delegation. Having returned from a very successful visit from Moscow only about 2 months ago, your presence here today reflects the growing dynamism of our bilateral relations and the shared commitment of our two countries to deepening economic cooperation, trade, and investment. Therefore, today's business forum represents an important milestone in the evolution of Namibia-Russia relations. For decades, our two nations have enjoyed strong diplomatic relations founded on solidarity, mutual respect, and shared aspirations for development. I can state with full certainty that the historical political relations between Namibia and the Russian Federation are strategic and unmatched. However, the same cannot be said about our economic relationship. Our task today, therefore, is to build upon that foundation and translate political goodwill into practical economic partnerships, investment, and industrial cooperation. This business forum, therefore, serves as a key platform for engagement between our government, private sector, financial institutions, and research communities, thus enabling us to identify concrete opportunities for collaboration. This collaboration is anchored in the Memorandum of Understanding on the establishment of joint trade and economic cooperation, which provides the institutional framework for expanding industrial cooperation, trade, and innovation between our two countries. Hence, a central feature of today's forum is the facilitation of targeted business-to-business and business-to-government engagements, which will allow our enterprises to interact directly, exchange expertise, and explore investment opportunities. These engagements are designed to promote technology transfer, strengthen value chain development, and facilitate strategic investments, matchmaking between companies and institutions for our two sisterly countries. As we prepare for the 11th session of the Intergovernmental Commission, the forum provides an important opportunity for our private sector to contribute directly to shaping the future direction of our economic partnership. Let me now talk a little bit the state of our bilateral trade. Economic relations between Namibia and Russia have continued to develop, characterized by steady but relatively modest level of bilateral trade. Namibia's exports to Russia in 2024 primarily consisted of fisheries products valued at about $3.7 million only, along with selected horticultural goods such as grapes and dates, valued at about $1.5 million. Imports from Russia, on the other hand, largely comprise strategic agricultural inputs, including fertilizers and cereals, primarily wheat and maslin, amounting to approximately $13.9 million, which support domestic agricultural production. In the same year, bilateral trade reflected this complementary pattern, with Namibia importing approximately $40 million worth of goods from Russia, while exporting around $13 million. The good news is that this skewed trade relationship presents meaningful opportunities to deepen cooperation, particularly through expanding Namibia's export basket, enhancing value addition in key sectors, and promoting greater investments, partnerships that can contribute to sustainable economic growth and mutual prosperity for our two countries. Namibia remains firmly committed to economic transformation, industrialization, and sustainable development. Our national development agenda prioritizes economic diversification through value addition to our natural resources and the development of competitive industries capable of integrating into regional and global value chains. In this regard, today's forum will highlight investment opportunities and comparative advantages across several sectors. For example, in agriculture and agro-processing, opportunities exist for collaboration in fertilizer supply, agricultural technologies, storage infrastructure, green schemes, and feedlot development and food processing industries that can strengthen food security and support. In mining and mineral beneficiation, Namibia seeks partnerships that support the application of advanced mining technologies and the development of downstream processing industries that add value to our mineral resources. In manufacturing and logistics, there are strong prospects for cooperation aimed at strengthening transport systems, expanding logistic infrastructure, and enhancing Namibia's role as a regional trade corridor linking Southern Africa to global markets. In education, ICT, and innovation, there is considerable potential for collaboration in digital technologies, research partnerships, e-government solutions, and skills development that will enable Namibia to build a knowledge-based economy. Ladies and gentlemen, the program of this business forum reflects the depth and diversity of opportunities for cooperation between our two countries. It provides Namibian businesses with a valuable opportunity to engage directly with their Russian counterparts, develop strategic partnerships, and explore ventures that can open new markets for Namibian products and services. This is particularly because of industrial and technological advancement from which Namibia can tap to transform our enterprise capacity, active participation by Namibian enterprises, particularly micro, small, and medium enterprises, align with the government's objective of empowering domestic businesses and strengthening their capacity to contribute to inclusive economic growth and sustainable employment creation. Attracting quality and sustainable investment remains a strategic priority for our government. Such investments serve as catalyst for industrial development, technology transfer, job creation, as I have mentioned, and economic diversification. One of Namibia's competitive advantages as a trade and investment destination is our strategic location and world-class infrastructure, which provides access to the African market of over 3 million people in the context of the Southern African Development Community, as well as the African Continental Free Trade Area. The world-class Walvis Bay port and our transport corridors makes Namibia an attractive partner for any investor seeking to expand their business in the burgeoning African market. To our Russian partners, therefore, I extend a sincere invitation to consider Namibia not only as a reliable partner, but also as a strategic gateway to this vast African market. On behalf of the Namibian government, I assure you that Namibia is ready to strategic and mutually beneficial relationship with investors who share our vision of advancing Namibia's economic development and creating shared prosperity. I also reaffirm our government's commitment to sustaining a predictable and investor-friendly environment that allows you to establish and operate your enterprises with a peace of mind. In Namibia, you are guaranteed political stability, respect for the rule of law, protection of your investment, and unhindered freedom to repatriate profits. Let me conclude by stating that the true measure of success for this forum will be measured through the partnership that emerge from this and the projects that follow. Let us therefore use this opportunity to move beyond dialogue and towards practical cooperation, investment commitment, and long-term partnership that delivers shared prosperity. I remain confident that the engagements taking place today will further strengthen the economic partnership between Namibia and the Russian Federation and contribute meaningfully to the success of the forthcoming meeting of the Namibia-Russia Intergovernmental Commission. With these words, it gives me great pleasure to declare the Namibia-Russia Business Forum officially open, and I thank you all for your kind attention.
Yeah, that is what's happened on Friday, especially when it comes to Namibia Russia Business Forum, and looking at the communication and also looking at the speech, one of the things that we should take out, especially from the conversation, is the numbers, and also to ask a question to say, what is the differentiating factor between this business forum and other business forum that have happened before? Because looking at the numbers which are stated here, especially in terms of trade, you will be able to realize that it's stated that in 2024, Namibia export to Russia was standing at $3.7 million US dollars. And this only fish, grapes, and dates, are at $1.5 million. And Russia import to Namibia fertilizers, and also wheat, which is 13.9 million. And that is to support agricultural production. So then one thing that you need to, and if you have to ask a direct question, especially in terms of trade, to say, if we have been with relationship with Russia for a very long time in terms of trade, these numbers are showing that, if Russia withdraw its trading with us, we can live without it. I'm just saying, it means that we still did not strengthen that. But if China remove the trade with us, we are going to suffer, because it's not felt. That's why it's indicated that it's only based on, it is always based on solidarity and also political relations. And that is a good thing. But it's more than that. The other thing that also maybe we need to look at is the aspect of are Namibian domestic businesses ready? Are they empowered at home? Or is just a platform created to them so that they can attend? Are they empowered at home? Because what has been communicated and what the Bank of Namibia has communicated is two different things. To say, to upgrade the domestic businesses, you need financial services to open up their doors. But what is stated is also that when you look at the monetary policy, you realize to say Namibian domestic businesses are also not in a good state. They are not in a good state because they are not empowered. But how do we compete internationally? How do we cooperate if we do not have infrastructure? If we do not have financial support? Yes, the intention may be good. Then the question should always be, what will happen? What is the differentiating factor? Especially when you look at economic cooperations. Because these business people, they have seen other areas. They have seen, I don't want to say they have seen better. But the question should always be, what is the differentiating factor between this conference and other conferences? And do you also have an evaluating method to say, after 2 years of a certain business forum, then we look at the bond, what was strengthened? Because it's not the first time it's happening. And looking also at, is the same with what happened with Nigeria last year. to say let's extend the cooperation. Then we have seen one change in terms of the shipment. But if you look at the trade volume, did anything really happen? Or is going to take another 5 years, especially when it comes to the trade of that aspect? Because it's one thing to have a good intention, is the other thing also to have a reality. Because before we move forward, you look at what's happening in Namibia. Before you move forward, you need to look at...
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do.
With Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Yeah, if you look at that part of trade, then you really think that there's a lot that need to be done, especially looking at expanding investment and also trade relations. But the other thing also that one must be able to look at is the result, because we always want the result. We have a good intention. People clap hands, they share numbers, contact details, but do we have favorable policies to allow domestic businesses to cooperate and expand to a certain level? When you speak about agro-processing, how many Namibian business people are in agro-processing? At what capacity? At what level? And have we the options? It can be expanded even to the mining technology and also other aspect. But let's see what will happen moving forward. Let's hope this, what has been communicated, would be productive, especially moving forward. And the content of the conversation is that historic relationship cannot be emphasized more. And what has been indicated, the historic relationship could not be said with economic cooperations. Let's see, I'm still looking to see how many youth businesses were there. Because you speak about 70% of the population that will still move forward the country in the next 100 years or so. But you look at youth businesses, you still ask. And, let's hope it will work out, especially expanding that trade, because really in terms of numbers, if you remove 13 million in terms of import, you realize to say we can still move on, but that should not be. There's still more potential. But yeah, let us look at the short commercial break. Then we'll look at what is in the Villager newspaper. Then we can still be able to move forward.
Lipura nengeno wapubwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njika okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nuneudo otukwetira o special getashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamoiri nawa ninge kwata Fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipura nenge no wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe odite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu kondado inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudini dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyzes issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye. The eye.
Yeah, it's 37 minutes past the hour of 7. And we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. As I indicated, the Villager newspaper is out for today. And it's quite important to look at what is in the Villager newspaper. And on top of the page of the Villager newspaper, stated that 2026, the year of key final investment decisions on Namibian oil, and that is an article by Hinomeno Valley Hangala that is looking at final investment decisions are expected on two oil exploration wells this year, namely Mopane and Venus Block, which could reshape Namibia economic structure and trajectory. Stated that looking at the key final investment decision need to be made especially into those two blocks. A lot of people are expecting the first oil. Some are saying it's sooner. Some are saying it's before 2030. But there's still an expectation of the first oil in Namibia. And there's an indication that 2026 is the year of key final investment decision, because you need more money. You need more cash before you start drilling. Before also you start the main business of oil, because exploration is a different thing. Investigation and confirming is a different thing. Drilling is a different thing. Then you come to refining. Then you come to the trade and, long-term sustainability of those projects. And you look at page 3. When you look at page 3, you realize that there is, application is still going on, especially with Welvetia University. If you want to become a lawyer, you can still apply. before 30 March 2026. You can do certificate in, there are different courses. Certificate in project management level 5. You can have a certificate in supply chain management level 5 from a law school. Diploma in legal studies level 6. There's also a bachelor's of law, that is your LLB. Say from there, you just write the bar exam, what is called JTC. Then you become an admitted lawyer. Go to the Vichia University and you find other courses, Bachelor's of Project Management, Education, Senior Primary Education. And you are saying we can't just have white elephant projects. People must be taught project management. They must be experienced when it comes to initiating, maintaining, and finalizing a project. Either you are an engineer or you are a social scientist, every area there is project management. There is a saying, especially from Jacob, who indicated to say, even your life is a project, how are you managing it? How are you managing your life as a project? But look into that, and also make sure that you apply to Vilvicha University. You find it at page 3, and the application is just $230 Namibian. And make sure that you have that program. Let's go to school. Education is very important. Education is necessary for economic development and personal growth. And also having content. Because if you are not educated, if you did not go to school, if you do not have either is traditional education, somebody with a lack of knowledge is always, angry because you don't understand things. Sometimes people are trying to help you, but you are very angry. You don't understand things because we are saying once a person is educated, it's easier for a person to grasp different perspective, understand them, and also use them for the national development and also for greater good of people around him or her, because education is necessary. That's why we are saying, look at page 3 and apply to Vilvicha University. Yeah, page 4, you have Kavango farmers begin harvesting, awaits maize and mahangu. And you'll be able to realize that, there is production yield. And there's an article by my colleague Anna Kreta. Haikela from the side of Kavango. And the farmers are indicating that although the rain was not consistent during the rain season, they are grateful as they have already started producing. You find those grateful farmers that you fight with what you have. You don't need to have all the weapons, but you fight with what you have. Because that is the only way that will be able to assist you. And yeah, you look at page 5, you realize that ECB wants energy diversification to reduce cost. There's an article by David Shombe and Minovari Hangala. Especially when you look at Namibia and also its electricity. Because when you look at the launch of ECB, Integrated Strategic Business Plan. The CEO said that we should not continue to do the same thing for all the time and we expect the same results. And on the other hand, you must also realize that Nampo is also here waiting and standing and they are trying to find their way, especially when it comes to the increasing of the cost of import of electricity that continue to milk Namibian in terms of finance, but also threatening the aspect of human development and threatening the long-term government priorities of 70% electrification or electricity connectivity, because you need to find a balance between distributing and also affordability. Building an infrastructure is like you are building a road at the county side where there is only 2 cars. You realize to say, yes, it's infrastructure development, but is it going to be utilized? It's like you bring a service station, but people do not have finance. The same thing with electricity. to say, if you look at International Business Review statistics, you'll be able to see that Namibia is still the highest country with expensiveness in terms of electricity. And I'm always comparing Namibia with other countries because you look at Botswana, even Eswatini, look at Lesotho, look at Zimbabwe. But I realize to say every country is dealing with its own problem. But in terms of expensiveness, we are still at the top. And we are not on top for a good reason. And that should be one of the things we should be handled. And before we move forward with what is in the Villager newspaper, let us look at top score, back to school, and we'll continue.
Eshi wataloka umeko embelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo no we wia kofikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimoshi paketi. Top score instant. Oyaita kwefindano talishambula, lokushuna kofikola, mondoma eveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opauningo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu, ovo tavaka findanwa ilo mano kavaucha kwa ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vili mwe dana mibia, oshipu nengono, lando kashako oko KG mwe eleke KG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshilongo ashishe, ndeto SMS oshicha instant. Totumu kombali, one eveli vatatu nombali. Efi afanueli, otali kulumo milongo natu nali mwe amarija mondoma eveja vaino milongo mpali na hamano. E mangono malandula fanu odo dino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. So I indicated that we are looking at what is in the Villager newspaper. That's why we are always making sure that make time, read, and also get content. So that when people are speaking, you don't only say, yeah, ne, or you don't only say, it's okay, I see what you guys are saying. But at least give 1 or 2 points. You don't necessarily need to know everything, but give 1 or 2 points so that people understand that you also follow and you can also be able to be a good citizen who benefit from economic intelligence and also economic data. There is article page 6 by HD that is looking at leaders outline key investment areas for Namibia digitalization. To say when it's coming to the world of technology, leaders, you know, outline key areas, especially key investment areas for Namibia digitalization. And also looking at that, you'll also be able to get the content options. It's coming to climate goals. Is to say, even if the world is bombing each other, you cannot run away from a good cause, especially with protecting of environment and also the utilization of climate energy. In the page 8, David Namandi Trust pulls 31,000 marathon prize money. This indicated that the 4th annual David Namandi Trust Marathon took place. That was on Saturday with 597 runners from all the regions in Namibia and competing in the competition with a total of 31,000 in price of money that was up for grab. And when it comes to sport in Namibia, there are those who are making it practical and get content and read the Villager newspaper. You can still call back. You can still call back at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401 because we still have enough time to have that conversation and to look at your Monday. How are you starting your Monday? Are you starting your Monday on a good note? Are you starting your Monday optimistic about the future? Are you starting your Monday happy? Or you are starting your Monday already defeated? Or you are starting your Monday not sure? But the day is how you make out of it, and it's also how you relate to what you are seeing out through the day. I'm always telling people to say every morning you are waking up, do not ever let everybody or somebody or to be able or to decide how your day will be like, because you will not be in control of everything which is happening. But what is in control is that it's your decision, it's your action, and also how you'll be able to also to relate to people, and also how you'll be able to move forward. Because at the end of the day, you realize to say, let us invest more time in doing what is right. And the interesting thing about life is that we know exactly what is right, and we end up moving on the other lane, which is not necessarily necessary, but investing in what is right will save us future trouble, and you can also save us wasted energy. And looking at that content, that planning your Monday the same way as planning for the week is the same way as planning for the month, and so it's necessary to look into that context. Everybody is looking at the Middle East. Everybody is looking at what is expected in terms of the price of oil, but panic is not necessary, because we don't really need to panic, especially when it comes to the price of oil, because it's not yet here. In the Namibia has confirmed that when it comes to our reserve, I think we have a short-term solution of 3 years. I mean, sorry, 3 months. To say in the next 3 months, we can still withstand the pressure of the Middle East. But the question is that when the 3 months comes to an end, what is the long-term alternative way of sustainability in terms of supply of oil and gas? Because people must be able to realize that when we speak about oil and gas, we do not only speak about oil and gas in terms of oil for petrol and diesel. Remember that when we are saying the Strait of Hormuz is closed, glycerin is also closed. The substances and also the materials that you use in tire rods are also closed, because these guys, they don't only ship oil. They don't only ship refined oil. They ship oil products too. That's why you need to understand that the whole sector is also affected, because it's not only about petrol and diesel, but it's also the whole logistic. We may have reserves, but what about other countries that are impacted? Because if you look at Egypt, Egypt is already in pain. When Egypt is in pain, which means that the northern part of Africa is also in pain. And ask yourself about South Africa. Ask yourself about Botswana. Ask yourself about those countries that, because the interesting thing about logistics is that once you disrupt one element, they are likely to link to other elements. You just put yourself in the context of having led locked countries such as Botswana and Zambia and Zimbabwe too, that use Walvis Bay Airport or Maputo Port or Corridor. But imagine their trade logistics is affected. They are no more able to receive cargoes from Middle East, which means that our port, our Walvis Bay port, is affected, which is not receiving those cargoes anymore, which means that we are also not gaining anything from those countries who are doing business with us. Because if the trade of if the oil price is affected, which means that the ship are also not going to move. The copper that Zambia always trade via our port will also be affected, which means that our business is also affected, which means that the drivers' businesses are also affected, and many other areas. That's why the conversation from now on, and also with the strategic relationships that we are also doing, should always be to say, what is the necessity of economic diversification? Why after 1990, even when Soviet Union collapsed, Russia decided to stand up and stand on its own and regain its power, its economic power. Why did that happen? Because they were able to leverage to say, it's not only about the West, it's not only about the East, but about diversifying your economy. You know what happened when they put sanction in Russia during the Ukraine war? It affected less on its economy because they use different routes, they use different trade partners. They actually made more money when they were sanctioned in terms of war, and everybody was shocked. If you look at IMF prediction and you look at countries that are part of Shanghai Cooperation organizations, you realize to say most of these countries or all these countries, they surpassed the prediction of IMF in terms of their GDP growth. But why did they survive? Is it because they are within the Shanghai Cooperation organization? It's not because of that. It was because this country were able to understand that although that is the case, they trade with each other, they trade with Africa, they also trade with the Western world. And a lot of people thought China and America are enemies, or China and Russia and America are enemies. They are not enemies. They even trade more than the way we trade the way we trade with them. Russia is trading more with America, as we are speaking, more than what Namibia is trading with it. China, regardless of the sanctions, and vice versa, they are still trading. But they are able to live with all the unpredictabilities which happen, either is sanctions, either is tariff increase. They are able to work on that. But why everyone want to push us? Because we do not have many roots. Our roots is only China and South Africa. And that is very dangerous. It's only China and South Africa. Let's hope we can expand. And the main focus should really be Angola, DRC, Zambia, and Nigeria. If we manage to do real business with those countries, nobody can do anything to us. And we'll move more faster compared to the way we are moving now. And we hope by 2030, that should not only just be a discussion, but we'll also be able to travel to Nigeria on a free visa, operating within that well-established zone of African free trade area. So in that context, that will almost bring us to the end of our conversation, especially looking at Monday. And we are always indicating to you that you must like and share our page. Make sure that you like and share our page. And also, your contribution always matters, especially your comments, your writings, and you know, so that we'll be able to build this economy. We'll be able to build not only the economy, not only infrastructure, but also human development. The conversation should be expanded to say, let us involve ourselves in real conversation. Let us not involve ourselves in conversation that are draining our energy, but conversation that can be able to assist us. And with these words, I will leave you in the good hands of the Big Mike, so that he will be able to unpack the day. For me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now, and see you around.